want to thank the organizers for inviting me to speak in this workshop. I will talk about the joint work with Guy Verda, which is going to appear in December. So, I will present the characterization of the ideal property for an important class of Sigma algebras, namely the separable purely infinite Sigma algebra. First of all, a few words about real rank zero. Most of us know that the real rank has been introduced by Levi Brown and Gerd Pedersen in their 1990 Journal of Functional Analysis paper, and can be seen as a non-qualitative dimension for Sigma algebra. It happens that the case when the invariant takes the smallest value, zero, well, this produces an interesting large class of Sigma algebras, and in fact, many of the Sigma algebras interest happens to have real rank zero. That's on one hand. On the other hand, the real rank zero proved to be important in Elliott's classification program, because most of the very significant classification results have been proved for classes of Sigma algebras which had real rank zero. The class of Sigma algebras for which the characterization of this condition would be given is the class of separable purely infinite Sigma algebras introduced by Kirchberg and Roetter. But I'll talk about this class in a few minutes. Their motivation in studying these algebras was the following very general classification result obtained by Kirchberg, which says that the A and B are two separable nuclear Sigma algebras with the primitive spectra homeomorphic with space X, that is zero space X. Then we can Kirchberg prove the following very powerful result. A and B are isomorphic after tensoring with the stabilization of O infinity, even only if A and B are KK of X equivalent. While that KK of X equivalence is a condition which in general is not so easy to verify, that theorem, that sweeping classification result, has as a corollary the following beautiful result, another theorem of Kirchberg. If A and B are separable nuclei, which is the fact each time I emphasize the nuclearity condition, then A and B are isomorphic after tensoring with the stabilization of O2, even only if the primitive spectra of these two Sigma algebras A and B are homeomorphic. There is another result of Fratelli and Elliott, which was proved in the 70s, I think, in the Journal of Functional Analysis, and which says that if A is a separable Sigma algebra such that the primitive spectrum of A has the basis of compact open sets, then the primitive spectrum of A can be realized using an AF algebra in the sense that the primitive spectrum of A is the primitive homeomorphic is the primitive spectrum of B for some AF algebra B in that means of finite dimensional algebra. Now if we put together this result and we use some standard from the theory of real rank zero Sigma algebra, what we obtain, what one obtains is that the following statement holds. If A is a separable nuclear, I emphasize again, nuclear Sigma algebra, then the real rank of A tensor O2 is zero, even only if the primitive spectrum of A has a basis of compact open set. So that O2 is heavily arranged in OP. Then a natural question arises. Is it possible to prove that statement that you see on the top of the second slide? Is it possible to find a direct proof of the above result? And even more, is it possible to drop the nuclearity hypothesis on A? Or say that if we drop the nuclearity closed its domain, then in particular we cannot use the powerful classification machinery of system presented here. So one has to imagine a completely different argument. Well, the answer is yes, it is obtained by myself, and in fact this would be an easy corollary of the general theorem, which I'm going to put as one of the corollaries. Now, let me keep the background for the proof of this theorem. So, let me remind you, in fact, the definition, which goes back to Kuhn's, the comparison between the notion of comparison between positive elements in a system algebra. So suppose that A is a system algebra and A and B are two lowercase A and B are two positive elements. Then we write it this way: A is dominated by B, the sense of points of the usual notation. If A can be obtained from B, cutting with a sequence xn in the appropriate way and taking then the limit. To be more precise, A is the limit of, in the norm of x n star d xn. Okay. So I'm going. As I said, the class of purely, the notion of purely infinite for system algebra since the non-simple case has been introduced by Hitchberg and Brennan. And let me remind you of the one of the equivalent definitions. Possibly non-simple system algebra A is said to be purely infinite if A has no characters or equivalent to no non-zero abelian quotient. That's one condition. And the second one is that whenever A and B are positive elements in the system algebra A, the fact that A belongs to the closed two-sided ideal generated by B is equivalent to the fact that A is dominated by B in the sense of Kuhn's explained before. A few remarks. The notion of pure infinite system algebra in the simple case of definition, the system algebra is simple, was introduced more than 25 years ago by Kuhn, as you know. And the definition of Hilbert and Urban is equivalent to this one in the simple case, the general equation. And if we want to have a sense, this is important and large class of system algebras. If you want to have to see some examples of system algebras which are purely infinite, I can give you two classes of system algebras with this property. A tensor of infinity or A tensor of two, a purely infinite system algebra for any system algebra A. This is a theorem of Hilbert and Urban. Or more generally, you can take A Arbitrarian tensor with a Kirchberg, what we call now a Kirchberg algebra. So there are plenty of algebras in this. Now, we think about the theorem 0 and then the statement of the main theorem. I said before, the linear rank. It's an important invariant for system algebra introduced at the beginning of the 90s, in fact, at the end of the 80s, by Larry Brown and Gerd Pedersen. And the terminology that I use, that the linear rank is a non-commutative dimension, is explained by the first version of the linear rank, whatever it is in the commutative unital case. So when the algebra is C of X, it's exactly the covering dimension of the spectrum X. And, well, I said whatever it is, but here is the definition. one of the possible definitions. The Riemann angle is caused by they, if and only if. Let's say that the algebra is uniform. The invertible elements are dense in the algebra. If the algebra is not uniform, then you work with the way the unit equation. Now let me take and make the main example. Let me make a few remarks. So the main result Michael and myself proved is the following, which answers in an immediate way the our initial question, which motivated this study. So suppose that A is a separable during infinite algebra, then A has real rank 0 if and only if two things are happening. The first condition is a topological one and involves the primitive spectrum of the algebra. It says that the primitive spectrum of A has a basis of compact open set. The second one is k-theoretical in nature, which is good because we always keep one eye, at least, in fact, both of our eyes to the classification program of Elliot. And the second one, you'll see later, the second condition, we give it a name, it's called, which is the algebra is K0 listable. If for every two ideals, I and J of A, J an ideal in I, the canonical map from I to IJ, use of the level of K0, it's subjective. So, I'll make a comment later. Larry Brown let us know that, in fact, maybe this is very hard, that in fact, this condition is enough to work with the bigger idea of I. We always may suppose that I is A, so it can work with only one idea. So let me say, let me make a few comments about this theorem. It generalizes immediately a known result of Xuan Zhang. He proved that, in the separable case, he proved that any simple purely infinite algebra has real rank 0. So in the simple case, this theorem generalizes that result. In the simple case, both conditions, all conditions, both subtractions, the one of limit respect, K0 stability are trivially satisfied. Okay. But you have nothing to check them. Okay. But again, we work in the separable case. If the result is true for any unit in the system. But anyway, in Elliot's program, we work with separable system. So,
in this case,
shouldn't
this be reduced to something?
If it can be.
Okay, the actual question is whether we are called or we stand to be reduced to something.
Well, in the simple case, his theorem follows from this one without any effort, and the techniques we are using are completely different. I mean, the abstractions do not materialize, the two abstractions.
I'm just thinking that the theorem itself, the statement itself, the conclusion itself, can be possibly reduced to the case of the assumption. Without getting into the proof at all,
I don't know. But
groups that have been very way of getting one type of system out of it to simple, then there are lots of susceptible to the simple system.
I
think
also
you might
have
Okay.
Let me say a few words about
PI and IP. Ideal property, let me define the ideal property. Michael is calling it property ID for obviously in his book on Springer, so I will use both terminologies. So we If you come out with a heavy ideal property, and we explain the property IP, if every ideal in this problem being close to size is generated by as an ideal by the projection, it's a weakening of the ideal property, is a weakening of the real and zero condition. And it appeared for the first time in Ken Stevens' thesis. Ken Stevens is a student of George Eliot. In this thesis, Ken proved the classification result for non-simple class of A algebras, approximately in that one, with the ideal property, and the invariant was a theoretical one. Then, for several years, I studied it intensively. I'll mention only two results rapidly. A second one is up for a large class of age algebras with the ideal property, and for the same class of sister algebras, classification model of shape theory in the theoretical terms. Then, together with Mikhail, several years ago, we published, we studied the behavior of the ideal property with respect to minimal tensor product, and we showed that the ideal property is not preserved, even the separable case, by minimal tensor products. And I would mention also a result of the Chun-Lan we'll talk here. So a reduction theorem for age algebras with the ideal property proved by Gong, Chun-Lanja, Yan Qingli, and myself. And that's almost all I want to say about the ideal property. Excepting that, well, of course, I give some examples. As I said, it's a weakening on the real and zero condition. Secondly, in a trivial way, any simple and unit of sister algebra has the ideal property. Or if any simple sister algebra is an approximate unit of projections, has the same property. And you can see that both these notions, I mean, define real and zero and the ideal property, define classes of zero-dimensional non-commutative topological space. We can say so, and you can say so, then the reason is presented in conditions here, because in the commutative case, the sister algebra has real rank 0, if and only if has the ideal property, if and only if the dimension of the spectrum is 0. 0 dimension is 0. So the spectrum is totally discovered. Now, along the way, we studied the ideal property. Oops. I think you shouldn't touch. I'm talking myself. So, along the way, we studied and we characterized the ideal property for two infinite algebras separable. And we used it. And one of the results, we proved this, and I want to mention this one. If you have A as is the theorem, so separable purely infinite, and I an ideal, then the following three statements are equivalent. Compact, I should give, it should be open compact, but we strictly, call it compact. That means that any time I is, that's enough to guys, is the closure of the union of an increasing map of ideals, J alpha, then I is J alpha 0 for alpha 0. That's what we mean by compact. So I is compact if and only if it's generated by a single projection, if and only if it's generated by finitely many projections. A simple corollary of that result is this one. It's a translation of the finite Boyle loop. There is a canonical isomorphism between the ideal lattice of a sister algebra and the lattice of open sets or closed sets in the primitive spectrum. So What I said is that what we say that I is compact is any time I is closure of a union of an increasing sequence of the net of ideals, J alpha, then the sequence stops. I is J alpha 0 for sub alpha 0.
Okay, so I guess that's the same as saying inspecting is not
that. And using that proposition, it's easy to obtain as a corollary this fact. That if A is separable and purely infinite, it's an easy corollary. Such that the primitive spectrum of the algebra has a basis of compact open sets, then every ideal is either joined by a single projection or is the closure of a union of an increasing net of ideals, such that each of these ideals is generated by a projection. Then conversely, but in a more, in a more general setting, if A is a C-star algebra, arbitrary, and if I arbitrary ideal of A, then either generated by a single projection or it's a closure of, and if this happens, that any ideal of A is either generated by a projection or it's a closure of the union of an increasing net of ideals with this property, then the primitive spectrum of A has a basis of compact open sets. Now, In fact, we are using scaling elements, and the paper is the paper of Blackadar and Kunz is quoted there. I forgot to say it's one of the main ideas of the way they from having scaling elements of the way they construct the projection in the algebra and adjacent property. It's in writing there. Okay, so where are we? Six. Several ingredients of the book to give you a rough idea of how we have to make it skills and some of them I think might present also perhaps independent interest. From my point of view, the first proposition being an example. If B is a heavily balanced subalgebra of a pure infinite diffusion with the ideal property, then B has the ideal property. Why I think that this, some people could think that this presents some interest in the mental, because in general the ideal property doesn't pass to hereditary algebra. But for this class of algebra, for pure infinite, this happens. We use it in a differential way. Now, I want to say a few words about the next proposition, which implicitly gives the characterization of the among other things, of the ideal property for separable, pure infinite C-star algebra. So as you can see from 1 and 2, the characterization is the fact that the primitive spectral ray has a basis of compact open. But let me state the proposition the way it is. So A is a separable, only a separable C-star algebra. Then the following four statements are equivalent. A is purely infinite and the primitive spectrum of A has a basis of compact open sets. Two, A is purely infinite and has the ideal property. So one and two gives characterization of the four. C for every hereditary, non-zero hereditary topological wave generated, be generated an ideal by properly infinite projection. Okay, so any non-zero hereditary algebra of A, B, is generated as an ideal by proper infinite projection. So, in other words, using the terminology introduced by Larry Brown and Gerd Pedersen, they are three algebra that is called properly infinite. Properly infinite as a fifth algebra. No, purely properly infinite fifth algebra. So I have to mention something here. Larry Brown and Pedersen proved that their class, purely properly infinite, implying general pure infinite in the sense of the system and the rest. I mean, he observed that one and two intertwined with three. He was trying to allow us to introduce this now, back to some implicit interposition. And the first condition is every non-zero hereditary subset of the branch, any portion of A contains an infinite projection. A is a separable stable sister algebra with the ideal property, then A has an approximate unital projection. In fact, for fairness, I should say, now I realize that this is a result which Michael Rodham proved along several years ago at the GPOS conference. I mean, during a talk of mine, he asked me something. I said, I don't think that this is true, and then he came up with the proof in the separable case, and this is a result of Mikhail, what the proposition you see, which we included in our paper, but it was proved by Mikhail himself. So, if A is a separable and stable fifth algebra with the ideal property, then A has an approximate unit of projections to be useful for us. Then, I want to say a few things about the next proposition. I will not define. Kilberg and Rodham introduced three notions related to notion of pure infinite. I mean, purely infinite, strongly pure infinite, and weakly pure infinite. And for each of these classes, they proved very different results. And as far as I know, this problem was not solved. I mean, it was an interesting problem to see if these three properties agree in general. All I want to say here is that the equivalence of these three properties was proved by Kilberg and Rodham for the class of rearrangeable systems. They proved the same result for two other classes. I mean, the fact that the three conditions coincide.
But if we refer to this result, the fact that the three conditions coincide for the rearrangeable,
that result of Fishback and Rodham passing from Riemann 0 to ideal property. So
that three properties coincide for
any system algebra with the ideal property. As any good definition, purely strongly T implies weak T, where T is the property.
So they prove that whatever definition of the other class, not the given definitions. But strongly pure infinite implies pure infinite, which implies with pure infinite in general.
Okay?
Seven? Eight?
Nine.
Now, let me, as I said,
the second condition, the main theorem,
Was given a name. And the technology is obvious. So we say that the Krista model is very schedulably
listable if for any two ideals, I and J of A,
I including J, the dimensional map from the smaller ideal to the quotient of the, from the big ideal to the quotient of the big ideal to the small one at the level of K0 is subjective.
Okay?
Now it was, as I said before, very wrong, and that's this comment that in fact it's enough to consider the case of J of A. So let me present you a few things about this property, which is important because it appears in, from our point of view, it appears in the main theorem. So we show that if B is a hereditary subalgebra of a system algebra A which is separable in K0 listable, B is itself K0 listable. So in the separable case, K0 listability passes to hereditary subalgebra. And if we have, we are interested in the behavior of that property with respect to extensions, to short exact sequences, then the extension is K0 listable even only if the ideal and the quotient are K0 listable and the canonical map in the quotient at the level of K0 is subjective. Now, the intermediary steps in the proof, whether the intermediary steps in the proof of the main law. First, I must. It says the following thing. If A is a system algebra and X is an element there, E is a properly infinite projection in A, such that X direct is orthogonal on E and X direct is dominated by E in the sense of Kunz, then for any epsilon, there is a projection P in the algebra such that after multiply X by P, we obtain something almost similar, this kind of same way, this kind of almost epsilon. It's clear why a result like that is very important in the proof, because the non-trivial implication in our main result amounts to proving that the system algebra has been an ideal. The way we'll prove it is that any hereditary system algebra has an approximate unit of projection. So it's clear that we want to have some object for what is alpha x. Of course, we need alpha x, but that's the way we prove the very narrow condition, the difficult choice. That's why that is wrong. But you need the. We use the. Heavily the technique of lifting projections. So one of the important things here. In this theorem, which is inspired the statement, also the proof results in mentioned in the paper of Brown and David Brown and JFN. However, the proof requires some effort. I think that I wouldn't maybe follow to be honest on that. So if A is purely infinite, the purely infinite is algebra, and I is an ideal in A, and B a hereditary subalgebra in A, we assume also that the ideal R has the ideal property. So let's keep the projection B plus R and assume that B intersected with the algebra A cut down by P is full in A. So the ideal generates the result of the algebra. Then you can lift the projection to B. So there is a projection Q in B such that P minus Q
belongs to
R. say separate mention in it,
as in our main result,
and with the ideal property defined, okay, then we can describe the behavior of group of A. Several packets of projections in A. And the next two results represent the different parameter effect, but it's improving this leaking property for projections, which is used, the last proposition used in an exponential way in the proof. So as an intermediary proof made to this, we show that if you have a short exact sequence, I goes to A goes to B, 0 at the end, and they separable in pure infinite with the ideal property, then first a full projection in the quotient leads to projection, not in A, but in A plus the 4x4 matrices over I, if and only if the class of 2 belongs to the image of K0 of pi. In fact, it's impossible, have an example, it's impossible to list it in A. The best you can do is in A plus M2 by some extra effort, but it was not needed for the proof, but you cannot list it from in the context, you see that I cannot list it in A. And then the main leaking projection result, which was used in an essential way, any separable and purely infinite star algebra, which is A, which is K0 leakable, and which has the ideal property, has the following leaking property. Any time you take, not an ideal, you take a hereditary subalgebra of A, okay, and you take an ideal in the hereditary subalgebra, then any projection, so any projection in the quotient of A0 leads to a projection in A0.
Okay. This is true for any hereditary subalgebra. Okay.
So this is
the property which is used in, as I said, in as an essential way in the proof of the main theorem. Because there, as I said, the difficult implication is to prove that under the two conditions, the theta algebra A can be an ideal. And the way to prove that is to prove that any hereditary subalgebra has an approximate unit of projection. And then because the two conditions, I mean, of the one on the spectrum and the other one, that technique pass to hereditary algebra, it was enough to prove that there is an approximate unit of projections for the algebra itself. And there, it's where we use we at that stage, we use in an essential way this property.
What are so now a few things about
consequences, immediate, I would say immediate consequences of
our main result. So remember the question which motivated the beginning of our work. It's the equivalence here between in fact A and C. So let me make it common. Let A be a separable sequence. Now, A tensor all infinity has the I and 0, if and only if the primitive spectrum of A has the basis of compact open set and A is K0 listable. Two, the following three properties are equivalent. The real rank of A tensor O2 is 0. Two, B, A tensor O2 has the ideal property. C, the primitive spectrum has a basis of compact open set. So this follows immediately from our main term because the A, B tensor of two over N is the of A theorem. So the equivalence between A and B answers our original question. You see, A is not supposed to be the part, nothing.
It's separable, okay.
And when A is pure infinite, of course, we have also we improved that before. These three property conditions A and C are also equivalent to condition B. general, the idea of property and the air and zero do not coincide, obviously. They don't have why, so. Now, we interested in the behavior of this property for the primitive technology, as the fact that it has the basis of compact open set. And the first point says that this property passes to extensions. The second part says that if the ideal of the quotient of pure infinity has the ideal property, then so is the extension, the fifth algebra in the middle. I want to make a short comment about two. In general, the ideal property is not preserved by extensions. It's a remark Marie-Jolie and myself made several years ago. Purely, the fact of purely algebra, on the other hand, is both the extensions. We learned this from if you put these two conditions together, however, you obtain the class of fifth algebra, which is invariant for extensions. And as a general observation, there are very few classes of interesting fifth algebra which are invariant to extensions. I mean, AF algebras, and anyway, I mean, purely infinite fifth algebra, but in general, it doesn't have a typical algebra, it's also algebra. Now, before presenting the but before talking about the second proposition here, I want to mention a result of it's a theorem of Blanchard and Hirschberg. They proved a few years ago in one of the many that they do. If you have two separable fifth algebra, A and B, and one of them is exact, then the primitive spectrum of A tensor B minimal tensor. The homomorphic is what you see. It's a primitive spectrum of A cross the primitive spectrum of B. Now, so in particular, if the primitive spectrum of A and the primitive spectrum of B have a basis of compact open sets, it follows in a trivial way that the same is true for the primitive spectrum of the tensor product. Now, if we drop the exactness condition, or one of the algebras, strange things are happening. This doesn't remain true. This is what the first point of the next proposition shows. Okay, and in fact, you will see, and the primitive spectrum of A tensor B is much larger than than the Cartesian product of the primitive spectrum of A and the primitive spectrum of B. So you see here, now, we constructed, we show that there are separable, so the necessary non-exact fifth algebra A and B, one with such that the primitive spectrum A. The primitive spectrum of A has 2 points, so A is an extension of the simple fifth algebra, and the primitive spectrum of C is one, so C is so, such that the primitive spectrum of the minimal tensor product of the two of them doesn't have a basis of compact open set. So in particular, as a very trivial observation, so, you take one, put the same spectrum as the other, so now I have 1 point, and the tensor program is infinitely and in particular, that property is violated, the fact that the tensor program has a basis of compact open set. And the second point is that this class of C algebra, A tensor of 2 and C tensor of 2 are both pure infinite of here and 0. So, implicitly, they have a weaker property, the ideal property. But their tensor product doesn't have the ideal property. Okay, so this class is, or this form, A tensor of 2 are not with the ideal property, or respectively with here and 0 are not close to tensor product. And finally, so I'll be, I think, right in front. The last thing. The reception is coming. The first proposition is heavily based on results by Kirchberg. Plus, our remark that strongly purely infinite and purely infinite coincide for the ideal property, for Schistar algebra is the ideal property. And using the result as the same idea of Schistar algebra is the ideal property, and suppose that one is exact and the other one is purely infinite, then the minimal tensor product is purely infinite and has the ideal property. Now, we are going to use this plus the corollary of the main result to prove the large corollary. But first I want to make a comment. There are no examples of separable nuclear Schistar algebra A and B, such that even so each of them has Lie rank 0, but minimal tensor power doesn't have it. So this contradicts what's happening in the commutative case. However, if we tensor with O2, this phenomenon disappears. So this is what our large corollary proves. So it proves more than that, but in particular it proves that this phenomenon after tensoring with O2 disappears. So let me get the advantage, it's very more general. Depending on the separable Schistar algebra, so in the ideal property, if one of them is exact, then any tensor potential of O2 and the rank 0. So, I think I'll stop here and say that I think that understanding the Lie rank 0 for this important class of Schistar algebras, the pure infinite Schistar algebras, in the separable case, even the separate case, I think it's interesting, and I think that it could be also useful in the future. And it's good that one of the characterizations is in k-theoretical terms, if you look at the classification program. Oh, I'm sorry, I have 2 minutes. Okay. Thank you.